This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Chuang. It's now 7:48 in the morning. And we're going to be talking about this potential, this new Residential Tenancy Act. And this is according to the Minister of Housing and Local Government, Zuraida Kamarudin, because her ministry is drawing up a policy for this act. And she said that it will take into account the interests of the landlord and the tenant, as well as ensuring that the landowner did not simply increase rental or evict the tenant.
So amongst other things that this law wants to touch on is includes solving issues of racial discrimination on the property market. And in case you thought that didn't exist, actually it does. Engaging the affordable rental rate based on location while protecting both tenants and owners.
So for more on this, we have with us Chris Tan, lawyer and managing partner of Chur Associates, a regular guest of The Property Show. Now, what are the main issues that have most commonly come up due to the lack of a Residential Tenancy Act?
Morning. Actually, the key concern here is that the relationship between landlord and tenant is regulated largely by the content of the tenancy agreement and the common law, which means the case law that we've adopted from the UK, that is heavily favoring the tenant. So given the possession is 9-10 of the law, lack of motivation to be landlord as an enforcement against the tenant is actually challenging and also time-consuming and costly. So the main reason of having a Residential Tenancy Act traditionally in the past has always been to see how to balance this bargaining position, but not the way the minister have put it right now. It seems to be further want to protect the tenant, so that could be a concern.
So, Chris, what would a well-drafted Residential Tenancy Act for the country look like? What are some of the key issues that it should contain?
Okay, I think it should be establishing standards and even prescribe certain terms and conditions and even coming up possibility with a statutory format of a tenancy agreement, because at this moment, tenancy agreement is actually a non-standard document whereby the terms and conditions are actually drafted based on bargaining power and commercial agreement. And I think some other thing that this Residential Tenancy Act should actually look at is actually dispute resolution, perhaps a new tribunal to look at just on the renter side. And more importantly to me is stronger enforcement in relation to how to make these things clearer and making tenancy a good collateral. Even for the bank loan, if you have a nice protection to a tenancy agreement, the income from it could be used as a good collateral to the bank.
Chris, what is the risk of such a legislation impinging on the rights of the landlord who owns the property in the first place? For example, if the landlord doesn't choose to rent out his or her property to a particular person, for whatever reason, shouldn't that person have the right to the autonomy to do so?
Yes, I don't think that the Act will regulate to the effect that, you know, anyone comes to take an inquiry about your units or your property that you should straight away force this person to go into a tenancy agreement and rent the premises to you. But I think it is more like regulating the terms and conditions. I don't think they can force. I think freedom of contract must be practiced and will be practiced. So that's how I look at it.
And Chris, I mean, aside from that, do you see other practical issues in enforcing the Act? I mean, for example, would it be the Ministry of Housing that will have to decide that this landlord did discriminate against a potential tenant? How will that be done?
I think discrimination is not an issue. Rather, I think if you talk about freedom of contract, really is up to me as a landlord, as in which tenant I would like to enter in the tenancy with. So I don't think this basic principle will be affected, but rather I think it's on the implementation and the execution of the standard term, when I say the prescribed terms and conditions. Like, for example, if you fail to pay rent, how many month later then we can get you out, and how to do it peacefully without going to the court that is potentially draggy and costly.
Yeah, Chris, To what extent do you think this new legislation might reflect the environment in which it is being legislated? For example, the very, very poor property market and the very cool demand towards real estate in general. Do you think there'll be any kind of like provisions in there to kind of like massage demand or to generate some kind of like rental occupancy?
I think these have to deal with very sensitively, because if we don't do it properly, there is intervention into the current Housing the Nation model that we are facing. At the moment, if you ask me, if you use the word Housing the Nation as an agenda, it is mainly a private sector initiative in Malaysia. And traditionally, the government is actually looking at housing the B40. But if you look at the statement made by Minister Zuraida, he seems to suggest it's now covering the M40 and it's moving toward the renter model, and whereby potentially, if this is not done properly, the biggest landlord for all these tenants could well be the government. So I want to highlight this, is that you have to, it's still too early to look at the provision at the moment. I would say it's welcome. We welcome the act, the fact that there is this Residential Tenancy Act, whereby the government is looking into it after years of asking for it. So I would think it's a welcome move, but as to the content, as to the real impact, we need to look at the true wording of the act.
And Chris, since we have you on the line, you know, what are the other legal gaps in the property market or property space which may have come about as a result of COVID-19?
I think I can list it to three things. Legal gap number one is that, you know, everyone now have a practice called work from home. So my question is that, does work from home permitted? If Airbnb as a commercial operation is challenged, right? So I'm saying to you, similarly, work from home actually means that you're using your house as an office and for multiple people to use. So I'm thinking that, you know, that land use kind of thing is being challenged. And if you look at how this act, and in view of COVID-19, I think what happened is that I want to say that, you know, the housing model have since changed, and perhaps the government intervention is important for the B40. But as to the M40, I think there's still room for home ownership, especially COVID-19 have actually pushed everyone to rethink, you know, whether our houses need too much of facility amenity, and whether location is still important compared to data connection. So to me, maybe the more prevailing data mantra for house ownership or house selection could be data, data, and data, and not location, location, location.
Yeah, Chris, what are the sticking points in the America? It relates to the moratorium on rental evictions because of the people who have been left jobless due to COVID-19. Do you think the government in Malaysia might take this opportunity to also introduce similar provisions to protect the tenant?
I think at this right now, it's not easy to evict a tenant because, as I said, that we adopt the common law of the UK, which means that the understanding of possession is 9-10 of the law. That's why even in a situation of evicting squatters, it takes a lot of effort. So I'm saying to you is that what more but a tenant that have a tenancy agreement in place. So I'm saying to you is that I think the moratorium is welcome, is useful, but having this act to add on the moratorium, I don't think so. And I think that this act need more careful study rather than just implementing very quickly, just like a COVID-19 bill. And the fact that you mentioned just now, the concern about those people are not having income to pay rent and therefore face eviction issue would probably be dealt with the COVID-19 bill and not this act.
And thank you for your time. That was Chris Tan, Managing Partner at Chur Associates. You can catch him every last Friday of the month for the monthly legal property clinic. And yeah, I'm going to be curious how, you know, what kind of details there will be in this new act, because then only we really know how useful it will be, because as usual, acts are only as good as if you can enforce it and implement it.
Well, I'm also quite curious as to the impetus behind this new legislation. What is prompting it? You know, it's not as if real estate is de rigueur. It's not hot at the moment. So I wonder why Zuraida is pushing this through.
Well, we'll be following this story. And anyway, we are now going to head into our 8 a.m. news bulletin. And after that, the breakfast grill where Lin speaks to Dato' Sri Chia Ching Hai, co-chairman of Value Partners. Stay tuned for that happening in a few minutes. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.